We're on Hey Omid Beis. Ein mitzayinin lo al kezayis min hameis, velo al etzim kisaora, velo al dover she'eno metami ba'ohel. Is it we up to? No. What are we up to? We're up to... Oh, this is Thursday. Yeah, okay, Friday. Okay. Megmara asks, okay, vav omid aleph. That was fast. V'dilma tuma megavoy v'ilonos mebroy. The Gemara says that if you have a place where you have a tziyum, and tzadah shenechrish bo kever, and if there's trees around, you can be assured that the place was already plowed. When they were saying it to begin with, it was tzadah shenevet bo kever. And then they plowed it, now it's tzadah shenechrish bo kever, and it's not metame bi'ohel. If there aren't trees around, then you can assume that what's it called, that it wasn't plowed. So Gemara says, maybe it was plowed around the trees, but not around the kever. So Gemara says, talking where the trees are on the gvul, and therefore, if they were plowed, the area was also plowed. So Gemara says, no, v'dil metumim megavoy v'ilonos mebroy. Maybe the trees are outside the perimeter of where the tumah was. So enochinami, the trees were plowed, but the area where the kever was wasn't plowed. Mara says, mimisu bochin. They're scattered in the whole field. So it was impossible to plow the trees without plowing the whole area where the kever was. And the kever wouldn't be outside the perimeter of the trees, because that's the Rishus HaRabim. People don't bury people in Rishus HaRabim. And another possible answer is that we said that you don't separate the tziyum from the place where the tumah is too far, and therefore where the tziyum was is probably very close to where the tumah was, and therefore if you plow the trees in that area, we know for sure it was in that area, wasn't farther in or farther out. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ad Sheyesh Shom Zokin or Talmid. Rabbi Yehuda says we don't rely on Hashara, right, to assume that if there's trees, it probably was plowed. Until you have a Zokin, right, in other words, an established Talmud Chacham, or a Talmud, or a young Talmud Chacham, that knows clearly if this was a field where the sawther was nechrash or it was just nevad. She'ena kol b'kiyim b'dover. Not everybody knows the difference, and therefore you have to have a Talmud Chacham who will attest to it. Om Rabbi Yishmah minot tzur min rabbon and de'ika b'mosa. Rabbi said, you hear from here that even a tzur min rabbon, tzur min rabbon is a young Talmud Chacham who is in the city, kol milei d'mosa alei ramya. Right? The entire affairs of the city is his business, right? Because he obviously has to be involved in even what's going on in the Beis HaKvaras. So, my Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Elyameir Bloch Zatzal, knew every street in Cleveland, all the maps, whatever, because he felt he had a responsibility to know the city. That's Talmud Chacham has to know the city. They say that when Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky went to Toronto, first thing he did was buy a street map and memorize the streets so he could give directions or whatever. I don't know what's doing. It says that, I think the Rav Elyameir said, it says the Gemara says that Shmuel knew the paths of the stars as well as he knew the streets in Pumbedisa. He said the Chiddush is not that he knew astronomy. The Chiddush is he knew the streets in Pumbedisa. Omer of Yehuda, Motza Evin Mitzienis Tachtera Tomei. So Rav Yehuda said, now see Rashi, V'dil Matuma Megavoy V'lo Bein Ha'ilomot. Maybe the tumah is not between the trees. So if you plowed the trees, no raya that you plowed the grave. V'lo Nechrish B'makom Tumah. Misubachim She'enam Omdim B'shura Achas. They're not in one circle. Soviv Hagvulin. Elam U'rovim B'chol HaSod. They're scattered amongst the whole field. Devarei Nechrish K'l HaSod V'shil Ha'ilonos. Ho amoran ein marchikin tzion nimakam tuma. The kivin shesomach liilonos hatzion. Since the tzion is very close to the trees, mestama, that's where the tuma was, and therefore, if the trees were plowed, we don't assume that the tuma was somewhere far away from the trees that it wasn't plowed. So vare tuma bein liilonos, even echrish b'shila liilonos. Kol mile de masal leiram yed the talmid baki. Right, he has to be a baki in all the affairs of the city. Amr Rav Yehuda, Motza Evin Mitsuyenis, if you found one stone that is a marker, Tachteo Tomi. So immediately, not immediately under it, but very close to it, is that's what's Tomi, but nothing else. Shtaim, if you found two markers separated, Im Yesh Sid Beinehem Beinehem Tomi. Right, if there's Sid, they used to pour the marker with lime. Like we said, it looks like bones. So if there was lime between the two markers, then you know the Tumo was between them. If there's no line between them, then each one's a separate thing. Not immediately, but very close to them is what's tameh, and between them is okay. The afogav the lekach choresh, even if the area between them wasn't plowed, that's how Rashi learns choresh, and Tosus learns cheres. They didn't put pieces of cheres between them as a sign that the tumah wasn't there. If you found one marker stone, then close to that is Tame. Shtayim, if there's two of them and they're separated, if the area between them was plowed, then you know that there wasn't Tumah between them, that each one's a separate marker and it didn't come to mark the area between them. But if it wasn't plowed between them, then we can assume that these are two markers to two ends of tumah, and that there's tumah between them. So here it says that if there's no sid, they, what's it called? That's when you know that there's no tumah between them. Here it says even if there's no sid, but it's not plowed, we can assume there's tumah between them. Talking a special case where they poured the sid on each marker and it spread to pass the marker towards the other marker. So now, if it was plowed, we can assume the reason that the sid extended off the rock into the area between it is because of the plowing, but not because they wanted to tell you that the tumah was in between. But if it wasn't plowed, then why in the world is the sid past the marker? Must be that the marker was that the tumah is between these two markers. Then it's tumah. But if there is no sid, and there's also no plowing, then it's also the tumah is only underneath the markers and not between them. Rashi. Motza even achas mitsuyenis besid. You found one marker covered with lime. That's a tumah marker. Tachteha Tomei, right? Then immediately under it, or not immediately under it, but very close to it, is Tomei. Umipim Mori Azokin, Evan Achas Mitsuyenis, Shiei Sid Al Gaba, De'eno Tzorech Laharchik Atzion Minho Evan. You don't have to, if you have one, what's it called, stone with lime on it, then you're not Marchik the Tzion, the mark, from the stone. The Fisha Evan Gavoal Gabi Karka, the Roes Atzion Miyad Kodim Shel Nogeabo. Because normally we said that if the Tzion is low, it's a low marker, then we want to put it before you get to the Tumah, because otherwise you'll be on top of it before you know it. But over here, if we're talking about it's on top of a stone, they poured lime on top of a stone, the stone is high, and you'll see it before you get there. Therefore, you're allowed to put the stone and the marker immediately over the Tumah. But if you put the marker on the ground itself, on the field, then you have to put it before the tumah. So if you have two markers that are two stones that are marked, then underneath them it's tameh. But between them, if there's sid between them, then we know that the area underneath, the area between them is also tummy. The mishum tzion, they put the sid there between them as a marker. The Gemara says, even if the area between them wasn't plowed, it's still, if there's no Sid, we assume that the area between them is Tahar, right? We have a Brisa, so it's not like that. It means Chorish B'nayim Tomit. That only if it's plowed between them can we assume there's no Tumah there. But if it wasn't plowed, then we can assume that the Tumah is between the two markers. The Afal got the Lek of Sid, even though there's no Sid. And what we're saying now is only if there's Sid are we Choshish for Tumah between them. But if there's no Sid and it's not plowed, right, even if it's not plowed, we're not Choshish for the Tumah between them. Where it says, no, hacha diktani ki leka choresh tamei ki gon sid shofach ha-roshi avanim umaruda lakan lakan b'neyan. Di'ika choresh mach mischoresh hu di'ik lif shenik lif min avanim v'noflu shom b'neyan v'tar. Di'lo sid the b'ni b'ni hu. Umach mischiyu nasa shom lo di'a sheish gan b'neyan tuma. When there's sid that spilled over between them, not completely between them, but it spilled over a little bit, so if it was plowed, we assume the plowing made it, extend. And therefore it's no simon that there's tumah between them. But if there's sid extending and there's no plowing, then mistama, they extended it to let me know that there's tumah between them. But if there's no sid extending and there's no plowing, it's also tar. Okay. V'omer avasi, Meitzer echad mitsuyan hu tomei v'chol asod ekula tohra. If one border of a field is marked, then only that border is tomei, and the rest of the field's okay. Because you don't put the tzion far away from the tumah, so the tumah is probably right next to that border. Not on the other side of the field, it's too far away from the marker. Shnayim, if two of the borders of the field are marked, heim tmei v'chol asod ekula tohra, only those two borders are tomei, and the rest of the field is tar. Shlosha, same thing goes with three. Hein tmeim v'chol asod ekula tohra. Arba, but if all four borders of the field are marked, then hein tohrim, then the borders are tar, because they don't put the tumah directly under the tzil. But v'chol asod ekula tmeim, but everything past those markers is tameh, because the reason they did it on all four sides is to tell you this whole field is full of tumah. Domar mar ein marchik and siyum imakum tumah shall have tzeres Israel. So the tumah is obviously close by, and it's filling up the whole field. And that way you couldn't put the marker on one side because the tumah is far away from it on the other side. So you had to put it close to the tumah on all four sides. That means the whole field is full of tumah. Rashi ein marchik and siyum imakum tumah lahachit siyum kol arba metzorim. That's why you had to mark all four borders. Because otherwise the tzion would be away, far away from one of the areas where the tumah was. So therefore, if the tzion is only on three sides, up till three sides, we assume that's all where it is, on the sides that where the tzion is. But if it's on all four sides, then the whole area of the field in between is also tummy. Okay, the yotzi nafal akilayim. Where it says, v'akilayim b'chol ha-shomoy nafkinen. Chol ha-moy, you go out for kilayim. V'raminu, right? Either chol ha-moy Pesach or chol ha-moy Tzukis, right? Be'echad ba'adr mashmino ha-shkol and v'yala kilayim. On the Rosh Chodesh Adar, that's when you go out for kilayim. B'chamishosar, borin kornis ha-megillah, b'krochim. On the 15th, you read the Megillah in walled cities. V'yotzim l'kavis ha-sadrochim, and you go out. Then, in the winter, where the thorns grew, to take off the thorns from the drachim, so people who are only regalim should be able to come and not get harmed. Well, the sakin harachovos, the lomud hamikvos, right, to go and fix the paths, and to masakin the mikvos, which the only regalim are going to need, right, to go to the mikveh, but also called tzorchei rabim, umetzayin nesakvaros, the yotzim akilayim. Right, all of that is what's it called, is they go out to take care of the kilayim on the 15th of Adar. They announce that people should check and see if there's kilayim on Rosh Chodesh Adar. But they send shluchim out to take care of it on the 15th. So it's the 15th of Adar that they send out shluchim to take care of kilayim and all these other things. And why again, and what's it called in Chol HaMoed? And all the other things it says you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed too. doesn't say they did them on Chol HaMoed. It says if it was necessary, they did them. So there's no question why the other ones are mentioned. But here it says you sent, once you took the Kalayim out, you don't have to do it again. But these things could be that they did it once, they fixed the mikveh, and then there was more rain or whatever, and it got filled up again, so they fixed it again. The question is not on all these other things, only on the Kalayim. Because once you uproot the Kalayim, it's gone. It's not going to grow again by Chol HaMoed. Rav Elezer b'Yosi bar Chanina, so what's the answer? Chad omar kan b'bocher kan b'othel. There is early sprouts where you have kilayim, so you send the shluchim out on the 15th of Adar for the early sprouts, and then there's things that don't sprout till later, which they didn't get because they weren't yet sprouted. So you send out again in Chol HaMoed to get the later sprouts. Chad omar kan b'zroim kan b'irakos. The grain grew earlier, but the Yerakos didn't grow till later. So they sent for Kilayim of Zroyim on the 15th of Adar, and the Kilayim of Yerakos later. I think that's the difference. One of the two. Tirashi. Va'kilayim b'chol HaMoed nafkinen v'raminu b'echod v'adar mashmim al ha'shkolim shu Yisrael mevim truma shkolim b'nison d'chsid b'chod shol l'chod she'ashona chadesh v'hove li kor b'mitruma chadosha. That's what we know from the Masechet Shkolim. And I think this is another reason why Moikotin comes after Megillah. Because in Megillah we spoke also about what happens on Rosh Chodesh Adar and Chamish Asar Ba'Adar. And here we have already a thing of a Kilayim in our Gemara that speaks about another time that you go out for a Kilayim. So it follows that Mishnah in Megillah. B'Krach Mukotin Chom Nos Yeshua Ben Nun, they read on the 15th. V'yash Mikvos Hamayim Shom Nem Soh. You clean them out from all the garbage that fell into them the whole winter. Right? What we spoke out. Why doesn't the Gemara ask on all these cases? Because it says on Chol HaMoed you do all these things. Why didn't ask from these things that we do it on Reni Chamish Asar B'Adar? The Tani Misaknin Adrochin V'Archovos B'Chol HaShomoi V'Hochatani B'Tesel V'Adar Mishon Delat Pirchu. That's no question. Why the bedin who the masakdin lehu trace in me? Those things need to be done twice, right? And again, there's another simpler answer that they what's it called? If they were needed then, they did it then. If it happened to be needed later, they did it later. But once again, once you pull up the kilayim, it's gone. The chi masakdin, and also the mission doesn't say that you have to do those things a Chol HaMoed. It says you're allowed to do them a Chol HaMoed. If they were necessary, you did them. But not that they had to do them. Still the rainy season after the 15th of Adar. So even though they fixed up the mikvahs, it could have rained again, and more garbage went into the mikvahs. So they have to do it again. But once they uprooted the kilayim on the 15th of Adar, there's nothing left to uproot on Chol HaMoed. That's why the Gemara only asks on kilayim. Kan b'bocher, kan b'ofil, ala b'chiros yosem b'teshvav b'adar. The early sprouts, they went on the 15th of Adar. Al ho'afelos b'chol shemoy de Pesach. The ones that came later, the later sprouts, they went on Chol HaMoed Pesach. Bizroyim ala t'vua yosem b'teshvav b'adar. Grain already was grown by the 15th of Adar. So there you could take out the kilayim from the grains. Kodmin li'urakos, but the vegetables don't come up until Chol HaMoed. Okay. Omer Rav Asi, Omer Rav Yochanan. Lo shonu ela she'ein nitzon nikr. Aval nitzon nikr yotzim aleihem. Right? That's only if they're not, what's it called, Rashi, lo shonu de'ein yotzim aleihem kodem adar, the kodem Chol HaShomoed, that we wait till the 15th of Adar, or Chol HaMoed, to go and uproot the kilayim. That's only if they aren't very visible before that time. But if they're visible before that time, right, then you go out immediately, as soon as they become visible. Ma'ishna b'chol shomoid in afkinan. Why, taka, do we do it in San Chol HaMoed? Am Rabbi Yaakov, am Rabbi Yochanan, mishum shchar pu'ula de mosli gabon. Because that's when it's cheap to do. You can find cheap laborers during Chol HaMoed because nobody has any work to do. So laborers are willing to take less wages to get a job on Chol HaMoed. But other times of the year, there's plenty of work, and therefore they hold out for higher wages. Omer Rav Zvid, Vishem Rav Misharshia, Shema Minoa, Ki Avira Luhu Shar, Mitrumas Alishki Avin Luhu, Disol Kadaitach Medidu Yavin Luhu, My Nafkalon Minayu, right? Kokama, the boy, Litain Luhu. The, what's it called? From here we can infer that the people who were sent out to uproot the Kilayim were paid their wages from the Truma Salishka, from specifically from the Truma that was left over from the year before. That's where they got their wages. Because otherwise, what difference does it make that we care that they can be hired cheap? If we're hiring them from regular people's, what's it called, money, right, who cares what they hire? Whatever they want to pay, they'll pay. But if we're taking it from Tzibur money, then we have to make sure we get a good price.
But who would pay for it?
What?
Who would pay for it privately?
Who would pay for it privately? The people whose fields have to, what's it called? The fields, and they didn't do it themselves. And the shluchim came, and they pulled it up, so they'll have to pay them. Right? The people, the people who own the field should do it. If they didn't do it, then shluchay beis didn't come and do it, and they charge them. They charge them for the work. Alamai, no, they don't charge them for the work. They charge the, what's it called? They charge the trumas halishka. The Rishonim say that we'll see later that they made a takana that they didn't pull it up. They were mafker the fields. Said anybody can come and take it. And once that happened, they didn't pay these people. To be mafker the field didn't cost them anything. To go and be okra, it was work. So they had to be paid for their work. So either the people of the fields paid the work, or they took it from Truma Salishka. From here you see that the Gemara says they took it from Truma Salishka. Rashi. Mishum schar pu'ula, the mosli gabon kolomer shiyochol liskor po'alim bezol. They could hire workers cheap during Chol HaMoed, lefi she'enem asukim melacha b'chol shemoed. They have no work. So they'll take any work on Chol HaMoed. Shema mino, midaskin and liskor po'alim bezol, since we're looking for a time when workers are cheap, ki avinu l'shchirus l'po'alim debat l'kilayim, right, the ones that are, what's it called, our ochre, the kilayim, we pay them from Truma Salishka. We make the field owners pay for the work of taking the kilayim out of their fields. Why do we wait till Chol HaMoed? That it should be cheaper. Why do we care it's cheaper? Let the guy pay the going rate. Let him go whenever they want. And the guy's going to have to pay, let him pay. What do we care what he pays? Whatever he has to pay, he'll pay. Really, he should do it himself anyway. So we're sending him workers to do it. Let him pay them the going wage. Not wait till it's cheap. It must be that we don't pay these workers from the field owner, but we pay him from Truma Salishka. The more we can save hektish money, the better it is. Okay.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
So if it's Rabbi,
yeah, because we don't want
mutter for them to do it on Chol HaMoed.
Right.
So if it's a private field owner thing, they would still have to pay them on Chol HaMoed.
What? No, it's still Sorche Rabbin. It's Sorche Rabbin. Who has to pay for that? Sorche Rabbin.
Why is
Sorche Rabbin
for me to hire someone
to
clean up with the kilayim in my own field?
What? Because we don't want the kilayim to be around it. Other people should be mixed.
So why do they leave the
kilayim? Why do they pay from the Truma Salishka? Right? Because we don't want people to be nichshol. That's all. What? No, so we're afraid that there are people be nichshol in kilayim. People, what's it called? Not so much gasol. It's what's called things that are left in the field that are, what's it called, hefker anyway. Afterwards, we're afraid that people are going to end up taking it. Things that are mutter to take. What? No, things that people leave in their fields afterwards, you're allowed to take. Right?
Then the guys wouldn't have the option to make the field hefker. They already have
jackets. Not that they're hefker. They're things that are left in the field after they take all those things that are hefker. But now they made the whole field hefker.